And from the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. It's been over a week since a tugboat ran aground north of Sitka, leading to a large diesel spill. Now that the spring herring run is in full swing, the state is advising against the subsistence harvest of herring eggs in areas where fuel has been seen. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
The wrecked tugboat, the Western Mariner, has been beached since March 21st in Nevis Strait. And while salvage crews managed to patch the leaks and remove just over 32,000 gallons of diesel and around 11,000 gallons of mixed oil and water from the boat directly, it's still unclear how much fuel leaked into the ocean. Throughout the following days, fuel sheen was observed throughout the strait and in nearby coves. On March 24th, 3 days after the spill, the widest spread of sheen was observed during aerial surveys, as far north as Salisbury Sound and as far south as Krestoff Sound. The herring began to spawn over the weekend, though, meaning it's time subsistence harvesters set hemlock branches and kelp along the shoreline to be coated with eggs. The timing of the spill could not be worse. KCAW spoke with subsistence harvester Paulette Moreno on March 25th, shortly before she went out to survey the areas where she plans to set branches.
The oil spill and the sheen that recently happened here in Sitka is much more serious and heart-wrenching than originally presented. There has been much effort made. However, with a turn of events, it is every person who loves this land opportunity and responsibility to respond to this crisis.
On March 26, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Environmental Conservation issued a joint seafood safety advisory. It recommends that no herring eggs be harvested from Nevis Strait or St. John Baptist Bay until further notice. Rachel Kryeski is an on-scene coordinator with the DEC. She says they're recommending harvesters avoid those two areas because it's where the heaviest diesel sheens have been observed.
We issued that statement out of an abundance of caution until we have more information to, you know, confidently say that, you know, it is safe to go ahead and harvest there. So we're just trying to make sure that, you know, we're being as precautious as possible.
The advisory also says to avoid harvesting or eating any eggs that smell or taste of oil, avoid setting gear in areas where sheens can be seen, and relocate harvest efforts outside of the area where a surface sheen has been observed. Sarah Yoder works for DHSS, managing the Environmental Public Health Program. She says the risk of eating herring eggs or seafood that has been contaminated by diesel fuel is hard to gauge because it's hard to know how much diesel they've been exposed to.
Just like with other toxic substances, the likelihood of any health problems depends on things such as how much, how often, or for how long someone has been exposed. An occasional meal of some herring roe is less likely to increase risk potential health effects than, you know, eating that every single day for a long period of time.
Yoder says, in general, the longer time passes after a fuel spill and the longer an area has been without visible sheen, the safer things become, though diesel can cling to fine-grained sediments, which can prolong the time it takes for fuel to dissipate.
As time passes and, you know, areas flushed with, you know, clean water, the risk becomes less and less. It's really hard to have a safe or not safe determination without, you know, a lot of data.
Kryeski with the DEC says the advisory applies to all types of harvest, including commercial. The Alaska DEC communicates its situation reports with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game daily.
You know, the partnership is working as such, where we're keeping them informed, and then they can make an informed decision regarding whether or not to conduct a commercial fishery.
As of March 26th, 5 days after the spill, the State Department of Environmental Conservation was reporting no visible fuel sheen outside of Nevis Strait, but sheening was still present directly around the vessel and between Entrance Island, just south of Wyville Reef, the largest shore on the eastern side of Nevis Strait. Kryeski says they're still monitoring the area 24 hours a day and replacing sorbent boom regularly.
Our SCAT team is out in the field today, and hopefully soon we'll have a full report from them. that will identify any beaches that need extra attention.
While reports of the situation are still in flux, Moreno says that for subsistence harvesters, this year feels different, as she braced herself to see the effects the spill has on the surrounding environment.
It's a lot, not only on our minds, but on our hearts. This is a different year. What would our elders say?
Krajewski says they hope to refloat the Western Mariner in the next few days. They will have a large team on site monitoring the boom surrounding the vessel in the event that more diesel leaks into the water. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
In other news, a prominent culture bearer in southeast Alaska has passed. Ethel Mackinnon died in Sitka in February at the age of 90. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It is hard to overstate the significance of the loss of Dasdia Ethel Mackinnon. She was a lifetime Sitkan and elder of the Raven Coho clan and one of only 20 remaining fluent speakers of the Tlingit language. Dasdia survived two husbands and raised her six children as a single mom with exceptional grace and humor. Her commitment to culture and language preservation was extraordinary. According to an obituary published by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, Dasdia was instrumental to the development of the Sitka Native Education Program and the Gashahin Dancers, and worked with both programs so long that she retired a few times. She was nothing if not realistic. Dasdia understood the barriers to mastering Tlingit, but she also knew that its study carried great cultural benefits. She made the point to the Sitka Tribal Council in 2014.
I feel that our language, our way of life, everything's important. And we need the young people to know our culture. Maybe they'll never catch on to be fluent speakers, but they'll know about the culture.
Neither was Dasdia content to stand by while the language came under threat. 2 years earlier, in 2012, a New Zealand scholar published what purported to be a definitive word encyclopedia of Tlingit. The volume was inaccurate on so many levels that it bordered on nonsense. The author later traveled to Sitka, where she was politely but thoroughly discredited by Dasdia and the other language teachers in the SNEP program. Dasdia Ethel Mackinnon was born in Sitka on September 20, 1931, the fifth child of culture bearers Annie and Charlie Joseph Sr. She died on February 19, 2022, in her daughter Lillian Young's home in Sitka. She was 90 years old. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can find a link to the extensive biography of Ethel Mackinnon from the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute on kcaw.org. Unalaska's main clinic has a new interim chief operator. Jennifer Heller is a certified nurse and midwife. She's been working in healthcare for more than two decades and at Aluluk Family and Health Services since 2019. She's the second interim CEO hired since December. Heller stepped into the role shortly after the previous interim director, Will Rogers, resigned after just roughly 3 months on the job. Heller says she's filling in as the board looks for someone more permanent.
They're in a search for a permanent CEO, but concurrently they're looking for a different interim. And so to bridge that gap between when they find an interim CEO and when Will left, I was the person that had been working most closely with Will. And because I was part-time before, I actually could flex up and do that.
The clinic's board of directors appointed Heller to the fill-in position at its meeting Thursday. Heller says board members are working to fill the job as soon as possible. In the meantime, she's hoping to provide stability for staff.
You know, one of the things that I personally think really important, just kind of encompasses what I do, is I just make it possible for the clinical staff to do their job efficiently and easy and unencumbered by structural problems.
The Islands Clinic is unique. It's a federally qualified community health center, which means it's funded by the federal government to provide care in the underserved area. But providers also serve the surging groups of seasonal fishing industry workers as well as locals. That means they have to provide 24/7 critical care to thousands of people, as the nearest hospital is about 800 air miles away in Anchorage. As for the weather, we're expecting more rain today and tomorrow. Temperatures are expected to be in the high 30s and low 40s for the next few days. Tonight's low, 37 degrees, with winds around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunset is at 7:33 tonight. We're gaining 5 minutes and 6 seconds of daylight a day in March. This is KTOO.